Good evening and welcome to the Upper Marion Township Board of Supervisors Business Meeting. Today is September 12th, 2024. The time is now 7:11. Please rise and join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We'll begin roll call, beginning with my right.
Greg Phillips.
Tina Garzillo.
Carol Kenny.
Greg Wax.
Tony Hamaday, Township Manager.
John Walco from Solicitor's Office.
Amanda Lapke, Assistant Township Manager.
Leanna Clubriel, Township Engineer.
The next item on the agenda is Chairperson's Comments. I have three comments for this evening. The first is, prior to this meeting, we had an executive session to deal with real estate matters, the legalities of real estate matters. The second thing I'd like to mention is our community suffered a huge loss yesterday. That Pastor George Serafis, if no one has heard the news yet, passed away unexpectedly. Pastor Serafis was known in our community for his compassion and for his generosity and for serving the community. Pastor Serafis will be greatly missed. So I wanted to just make that announcement in case residents haven't heard the news of that passing. The other item I want to mention is about our deer management program, which will be beginning on September 21st. And I just have a little write-up that I'd like to read quickly. This past week, property owners within a 500-foot distance of township-owned properties received letters announcing an agreement with Chester Valley Deer Management Association to provide limited and controlled bow hunting deer management services. The program will only occur during hunting season and is not open to the public. Township staff will be working with CVDMA to oversee the program and its members. CVDMA is a fully insured nonprofit organization and is committed to harvesting deer in a safe, proficient, and humane manner. After receiving numerous complaints from residents regarding deer-related incidents, the township researched several options to assist in reaching a stable deer population. We feel that this agreement will provide the safest and most effective option to help alleviate some of the issues facing our residents. You can find more information about the program on the Township website. It's under the Environmental tab and it's Deer Management page. So if you want to find out more information about that, please go to our website and you can get that information. The next item on the agenda is Citizen Board vacancies. And fortunately, our list is getting smaller and smaller, but I'll read off the current vacancies. For the Community Center Board, we have one vacancy. For the Community Center, for a student member, there's currently one vacancy. The Economic and Community Development Committee has two vacancies. Economic and Community Development has one vacancy for a young adult member. The Farmers Market has one vacancy for a young adult member. Human Relations Commission has a vacancy for one alternate. There's one vacancy for the Media Advisory Board for a young adult, one vacancy for a young adult for the Public Safety Board, one vacancy for the Upper Marion Foundation Subcommittee, one vacancy for the Upper Marion Historical Commission. The Upper Marion Historical Commission also has one vacancy for a student member, and the Zoning Hearing Board has one vacancy for an alternate board member. Okay, next on the agenda, we go into new business, and the business for this evening is all entailed in our, I apologize, I forgot to approve the minutes. Let me go backwards. For the meeting minutes, I don't have the dates. There are none. Okay, so there is none. Okay, so it was okay that I bypassed that one this time. Okay. There you go, premonition. For the consent agenda, item A1, presentation and acceptance of the township's 2025 financial requirements and minimum municipal obligation in the amount of $2,500,582 for the police and $759,840 for the non-uniform pension plans. Number two, Brownlee Road Culvert Replacement Project, approval of payment application number two in the amount of $93,263.40 to G&B Construction Group, Inc., Feasterville, Trevose, Pennsylvania, for contract services performed to date as recommended by Arrow Consulting, Inc. Number three, Brownlee Road Culvert Replacement Project, approval of payment application number three in the amount of $149,382 to G&B Construction Group, Inc. of Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, for contract services completed to date as recommended by Arrow Consulting, Inc. Number four, public safety capital equipment purchase, authorization to purchase the following through any state, COSTARS, or cooperative program. First, 2024 Ford F-350 Emergency Services Vehicle and Fit Out for $78,228.06. Number two, 2024 Polaris UTV with rescue equipment and water tank, $56,477.73. And number three, Himaltro Pantheon Rescue System Tools for $16,910. Number five, financial escrow security release number four to Stonebrook at Upper Marion Phase 3, approval of escrow release number four in the amount of $323,536 for the completion of required site improvements to date as part of the land development project as recommended by the township engineer. Number six, financial escrow release number one, Mansell Mill Road Company, approval of escrow release number one in the amount of $1,172,512.50 for the completion of required site improvements to date as part of the land development project as recommended by the township engineer. Number seven, approval to provide reimbursement to the King of Prussia District with funds from the Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program grant for the First Avenue Linear Park project up to $1 million. Number eight, Fire Department EMS fleet evaluation, approval of proposal from Emergency Vehicle Response to study the fire EMS apparatus and equipment in the amount of $24,800. Number nine, vehicle camera contract with Verizon Connect, approval of a contract with Verizon Connect for the installation of vehicle dash cams and monthly service in 12 fire EMS vehicles at a monthly cost of $632.40. Number 10, Balagamingo Pump Station and Trout Run WPCC Pump Replacement Project, award of the general contract to Desco Design and Construction, Inc. of Lancaster, Pennsylvania, in the amount of $671,903, and award of the electrical contract to Brendan Stanton, Inc. of Montgomeryville, Pennsylvania, in the amount of $84,100, as recommended by the project consultant. Number 11, First Avenue Linear Park Phase 2 Project, approval of invoice number 18 in the amount of $962.22 to RK&K LLP of King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, for construction inspection services performed to date as recommended by the Director of Public Works. Number 12, Family Entertainment Sport Venue Study, approval of proposal from Ewing Cole for a Family Entertainment Sporting Event Venue Study with the township in the amount of $46,200, utilizing general fund reserve funds. Number 13, Resolution 2024-30, disposition of township police records, authorization to dispose of township police records as described in said resolution in accordance with the Pennsylvania Municipal Records Act. And number 14, we have a citizen board appointment to the Community Center Complex Advisory Board. As a young adult member, we would like to appoint Sydney Marchese to serve on the Community Center Complex Advisory Board. Do I have a motion to accept and approve the items on the consent agenda?
I'll make that motion.
I'll second the motion.
Is there any discussion on any items from the board on any of the items, Supervisor Kenny?
Thank you. I would just like to point out that the Brownlee Road culvert should be completed somewhere in the next 2 to 3 weeks. So I know that that will be very good news to the residents who are impacted by this project. That's it. Thank you.
Any other comments from anyone from the board? Any comments from the public on any item in our consent agenda? Hearing and seeing none, we're in a position to take a vote on this matter. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Passes 5-0. Okay, now we move along to accounts payable and payrolls. Is there a motion to pay the bills?
Motion to pay the bills.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Oh, Carol just did. Carol. That's okay. A second. You missed it. You can get the last one. Is there any, all in favor of paying the bills, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Passes 5-0. Okay, now we move along to additional business. Is there any additional business from anyone on the board?
Two comments that I'd like to make, Madam Chair.
Please.
Over the past couple of weeks, we've had the opportunity for Upper Marion Township to participate in some state conversations, I guess is the best way to put it. The first one was regarding economic development, and that was held with approximately 25 township officials from around the state, PSATs and DCED. The discussions centered upon the desired economic development aspects in the regions, the six regions of Pennsylvania. And more importantly, our focus, of course, is going to be southeastern Pennsylvania. The most interesting thing that came from this was essentially there are grant programs and there are significant initiatives that the state is going to be working toward to enhance the economic opportunity within the regions. The challenge now comes in making sure that we become part of those economic drivers by making sure we know when the grants are available, what the grants are available for, what other aspects or areas of the five-county collar region actually are going to be getting initiatives for and how we can parlay into that to benefit as well. It was recognized by all parties involved from the state as well as from PSATs, and those that don't know who PSATs is, that's our state elected officials association. There was great recognition that this region is the economic driver for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And if there is not supplemental economic support to this region, the entire state would suffer in the long run. So that was number one. The second meeting, which was yesterday, I was on with 15 others from around the state, all from municipalities in excess of 10,000 population. Now, we are one of a handful that are in excess of 35,000 population. In fact, there are only about four of us that are in that category. So we are sort of the anomaly in the 1,500 or so townships in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania because we are so big. However, the aspects that were discussed covered all of the types and sizes of municipalities. The most important one was dealing with land use. There are proposals in both the House and Senate to take away local control of determining zoning of residential properties. That is essentially come to the top of concern lists for every municipal government type in the Commonwealth. And there are concerns here that, first of all, that our state elected officials around the state were not listening to the locals on what the impacts are. And number two, apparently there's a federal initiative in this as well. So if you hear us being concerned about this, if you hear us talking about this, understand that this is a real impact upon us locally. And it's not just Upper Marion, it's every municipality. If the state and or the federal government decide that they want to take control of how zoning for residential properties is done at the local level. That was one. The other item is warehousing. We've had a number of initiatives for warehousing in Upper Marion. The one thing that I can say here is that all the other municipalities who expressed concern about this or the regions that expressed concern are way behind us because they have not zoned for warehousing. So a lot of these things come down to the proactive work we've been doing over the last few years with redefining our zoning districts and what can and can't go and what's compatible between districts. So we've been trying to put warehousing in certain districts where we know that, yes, there's going to be some traffic issues developed, and I specifically raised the issue that PennDOT has to work with local governments to better understand traffic movement in warehousing, regardless of where that warehousing is placed. The last item is one that, and there were several others, but the other item that came to heart here is something we've already addressed, and that's public safety. We've been working for 5 years on our comprehensive public safety department. Others are just realizing that this may be the way to go. So they are asking questions about how do you do these kinds of formulations? How do you get results from it? And how do you deal with the outfall from it? So All in all, I think we're ahead of the game, Madam Chair, as we have been. Part of that's because of our size and things happen here before they happen elsewhere in the Commonwealth. But the thing that worries me the most is state attempted takeover of our local zoning. And then secondly, making sure that all of the state departments work with local governments to make sure that we are compatible. If we're going to grow this region, we have to have the infrastructure to make that happen. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for presenting that information. And you're absolutely correct. And each municipality in the Commonwealth operates a little differently. We have different needs. We have different goals. We have different comprehensive plans that have been set up. And to have a statewide mandate that's inclusive of everyone is a little bit misguided. And it takes away the control from the municipalities and what we have put in place already. So we're very concerned about this potentially happen. And now if it goes to that next level and the federal government takes over with this, we don't know what that looks like yet. We haven't even seen that. So we don't even know what to expect. And we also are concerned about just the constitutionality of that kind of a mandate that would happen. And so we're going to keep our eyes on this closely.
Especially the Commonwealth.
Especially the...
It would be different if it were a state, but we're a Commonwealth.
We're a Commonwealth, yes.
It makes a big difference.
Yes, yes. So thank you for bringing that up.
Sure.
And I have two community-centered announcements that I'd like to make. The first one is our annual Fall Fun Festival that's coming up in October. The dates for this event this year are different from last year. And this will be held just on Saturdays from 10 to 6 p.m., 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. The dates will be Saturday, October 12th, Saturday, October 19th, and Saturday, October 26th. So it'll be for three days during October. For the tickets to attend, for youth, it's $12 a ticket. And the youth bringing along your parents or your guardians or whomever, $7 for their ticket. You'll be giving an admissions wristband, and that can be used for all the events that occur at the festival. If you come dressed as a farmer or a cowboy or a cowgirl, they are giving a discount of $2 per person if you dress up. So there's incentive to come and have fun and do a little bit of dress up. And maybe this can be a prelude to what your costume could be for Halloween at the end of the month. So maybe that'll give you some ideas to think about. So you get a $2 discount if you come dressed as the farmer, cowboy, or cowgirl. So that would take it down to $10 for youth or $5 for the adults. This event's always a lot of fun. And I think I can remember, I had a screenshot of all the events that are happening. There'll be food trucks. There'll be a corn maze. There'll be different crafts for kids. There'll be face painting. There's going to be, if you drive by on Henderson Road, you can see the big hay bales. So there'll be a hay bale mountain that's over there. There will be the mechanical bull again this year, if everyone's brave enough to tackle that one. So a lot's going on over the Fall Fun Festival. So again, the dates are the 19th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th of October from 10 to 6. And during the month of October then, the farmer's market is going to shift their hours. That we're going to try and experiment with some evening hours for the farmer's market. So this gave us the perfect opportunity. So during the month of October, the market will shift their open operations to be on Friday evenings from 6 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Currently, our hours are Saturdays from 10 to 2. And that'll revert back after October's over. So back in November, we'll go back to our 10 and 2 on Saturdays. But for the month of October, it'll be Friday evenings from 6 to 9. And you can go on the website to see all the special events that are planned for the farmers market for October. And that was all the comments I had. I don't know if someone thought of something else they'd like to share. No? Any comments from the public? Absolutely. Please come to the podium and you can introduce yourself. Are you an Upper Marion resident?
I am.
Well, thanks for listening to me. I'm Tim Hoover, live at 256 Anthony Road in King of Prussia. I've been a resident for 40 years, 30 of them on Anthony Road. Raised three kids here in Upper Marion. All three have thrived and graduated from Upper Marion High School. And when my kids were young, I coached Umba softball and youth basketball. So all three kids played sports, including tennis, at Upper Marion, and they all excelled academically. I'm retired now. Both my wife and I volunteer for numerous organizations in the township. So this is home for us, Upper Marion, 40 years. And, you know, we love it here. You know, we like it. My house does back up to Walker Park. In fact, a corner of my property lot is also the Mullen track. We were so happy in Montgomery County Open Space Fund the purchase of the Mullen track 20 years ago, so it couldn't be developed further. Depends on how long you've been here, but at one time they were looking at putting apartment buildings in there. And so when it was privately owned by the Mullins, and it once was looked for a semi-pro baseball stadium. And it was one time it was going to be expanded for youth football, but wisely, the Board of Supervisors at the time, they made a bold decision to develop Heiser Park for a total athletic complex there, which has been a success at Heiser Park. Anyways, we, along with the entire Cannon Run neighborhood, have been blessed for years of peace for a natural setting of Walker Park and the Mueller track. Very peaceful back there, quiet, have softball back there, but that's not so bothersome. We do get deer, but I don't think we're on the list for deer kill. On occasion, we get deer, we get foxes, rabbits. So it's nice. It's a nice piece of land back there. But I do have some concerns, you know, with the proposed tennis courts in Walker Park, and that's going to change the character of the neighborhood there. And it's going to be additional noise with the pickleball, additional traffic is going to be going through the cul-de-sac area, and there's going to be a loss of green buffer in the open space with that when you take away the forest there and you pave it over with tennis courts. You'll be applauded, you know, for the purchase of the Dambiani project there, the construction site. I think that probably needed to be done. They're not loud, but I know it's not much of a site back there. But my comment is, what's the plan to discuss these concerns of noise, traffic, and the loss of green buffer and open space? And who's responsible for development of the plans? Because the information's been hard to get. I haven't been able to, I use Facebook on occasion, not a big Facebook user, but unless I sort of dive in and try to get the information, I don't see anything coming out to the neighborhood. And like I said, we're directed, impacted directly as long with some of our neighbors, obviously, with what the development is there. So I'd like to hear a comment, I guess, is what's the plan? Where are we? What's going on? And how can we get more information? And is there going to be a comment session, you know, to talk about the plan, so.
I will comment first that this has moved pretty quickly with the school district just because of their plans for wanting to have tennis courts for their for the school season for this year. So things probably towards the end of this the conversations with them have moved quickly. So as far as getting out to the public and letting the public know, there hasn't been a whole lot of information for the public yet. I know that we are trying to plan a joint meeting with the school district and ourselves, and I'm thinking that platform will be the opportunity for both residents watching the public meetings for us as well as the school board meetings. So we're trying to work out a schedule like that, and public can come to that meeting, and that would be probably an opportune time to be able to ask questions from both directions, from us as the township and the school district. That hasn't been formulated yet. We just discussed that recently, trying to pull that together. So if school board members are watching this meeting tonight, this will be news to you as well. So this was just the last couple of days that we decided that we needed to have that kind of a meeting just to make sure that public is included. We definitely want to have public input on this. It is moving forward. We have signed a lease with the school district to build the tennis courts. The tennis courts won't be on the Mullen track parcel, so that will still remain open space. The tennis courts will be on the that would be the north, the northeast section of where Damiani is right now. So
Damiani and
yes, it'll be along the turnpike, along that side. So it won't be against your property. It won't be at that end of it. That was purchased for open space. So we would have to work with the county to do any kind of improvements on that space, regardless. So that isn't
any. Would that ever be the plan?
I'm sorry?
Of the Mullen track you're talking about now, right?
Yes. So the tennis courts aren't aimed for the Mullen Track at all. Right. Now, that would be there's going to be walkways there for the high school students and middle school students to be able to come down to access the courts. So you'll have there'll be foot traffic, but as far as the courts themselves, they're not they won't be constructed on the Mullen Track. So I don't know if that in itself helps relieve some of your concerns.
Well, there's if you're familiar, there's a Mullen Track and then there's an open field that sort of pours into Crow Creek there, right?
Talking about where the retention pond is?
Yes. Okay. Between the retention pond and the Mullen Track, there's an open field. That's not part of the plan.
That's not the plan at all.
Right. Okay.
Not the plan at all.
Okay.
No. And we're very we want to be respectful to the residents that live there. And as you say, you've enjoyed all these years of peace and quiet there, and you wouldn't want that right beside there.
Well, absolutely, yeah. And even, and I would say that it's kind of surprising, I guess, that there hasn't been, I mean, we have to wait till a moment when the plans are sort of unfold and then get comment. But what if there is like massive comment? I mean, you know, it just seems to me like, you know, it's a runaway train right now, right? And you're beholden to the school board, it sounds like, right? You're just sort of waiting for, you know, to give you information. But I think you're responsible for the traffic, right? For the safety, you know, if people trying to come in off Allendale, if that's the plan. And that's kind of a bad intersection right there. I know that I think at one time PennDOT, there was a traffic light being planned to put there, but PennDOT wouldn't allow it because it's safety coming up over the bridge there. But it's an access, I guess, right?
Our traffic engineer is actually studying that right now for us, trying to see where maybe we can slide that access away from where that turnpike access is there for the previous Damiani property. Maybe slide it up a bit. So they're working on developing that right now.
Right. And what about like noise abatement? I mean, again, I probably getting into details, right? I guess until we know. But pickleball, and you all must be aware, right? It tends to be controversial because of the noise. And if you go to Haverton Township, for instance, right now, they have, I think there's even like some lawsuits, probably not going to happen because people love pickleball and it's just like a wave coming, right, type of thing. So
it is popular.
But, yeah, it is popular. They put noise abatement in, but the houses are a lot closer than this, right, type of thing. But that, the traffic, again, I think the concern in the neighborhood is the traffic coming into the cul-de-sac. You can say Allendale, but you know, high school kids are high school kids, right? And them from walking to the high school to the tennis court, if they have their driver's license, they're going to drive there, right? And if they drive there, they're going to come out. They're probably going to come on down on Anthony Road and then hit the cul-de-sac instead of driving out on Allendale. So there's some concerns, right, type of thing.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure how that's going to be addressed. And then even just the loss. Well, it's progress, I guess. You know, I hate to lose the green buffer that's there, but it can also, like I said, my kids played tennis, right? My wife and I took pickleball lessons. We're not very good at it. You know, so it's not like, you know, I don't want to be the old man in the backyard saying, get off my backyard, right? But, you know, that's kind of where I feel like a little bit, right? I mean, it's like, what's going on, you know, type of thing, because every day I look out and I can see across the field to where this development's going to be.
Certainly.
So.
And if you and your family members still play tennis, the tennis courts will be open to the public, similar relationship that was with the high school tennis courts, so that when they're not actively using them, they'll be open to the public, so it'll be public tennis courts as well.
No lights.
That was in our lease agreement. No lights.
Okay.
As far as the school district constructing lights, no lights.
So when is the meeting being? Is there a meeting being planned, or you still have to schedule that yet?
That was just discussed this week, so this is fresh off the press.
Okay.
I think it's still warm and wet. So we're coordinating with the school district, try to do that probably sooner than later. And I'm sure they want to move along with this project as well. So we'll try to do that as quickly as we can.
Yeah, and okay. Well, thanks. I guess that's obviously I'll keep an eye out, you know, type of thing. I mean.
And please share this information with your neighbors. I'm sure that.
Well, they know, and that's part of the issue, right?
Okay.
I mean, the perception, to be honest, the perception is that the information from the board is being slow walked so that the neighbors can't have a riot about it, right? Type of thing. You're sort of like, okay, here it is, it's in, you know, type of thing. And that's, you guys don't want that, right? You don't want that perception, but that is kind of their perception, you know, out there right now. So I'm just being totally honest, you know, that's what it is. And you're going to hear, I think, people grumble, you know, about this thing railroading in like it is, right? So to keep that in mind, but yeah.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
I mean, I can speak a little bit about pickleball and pickleball noise. I am an avid player. I actually live near courts. My community has its own private courts. And I'm about 500 or so feet away. I'm a little bit up, but also about 500 or so feet, maybe a little bit more as the crow flies. At 500 feet, if somebody hits the ball really hard, you can hear a slight pop. If it's hit really hard, if it's softer, and a lot of pickleball revolves around soft play called dinking and drops, you really don't hear it at all. I did actually go to Google Maps and try to measure approximately how far the houses at the edge of Anthony Road, which back into the park, would be from where exactly I think the tennis courts are. And I believe it's actually a little bit, tennis/pickleball courts are, and I believe it's actually a little bit more than 500 feet away. There are materials that, on top of that, can be used to dampen pickleball noise, and also the paddles. As the sport matures, the paddles are getting better to reduce the noise. But if it's 500 feet plus, you're probably not going to actually hear much more than a soft pop when somebody hits it really hard. That's my experience.
Yeah. That's more than we're hearing now, of course. but I hear what you're saying. The pickleball pop is about 70 decibels, but it's the pitch, right? I mean, because we hear a turnpike, but it's more of a lower pitch, right, type of thing. So it's not so bothersome. But pickleball, I know it can be noisy, right, type of thing. 500 feet, I'm glad you did your homework, because I would not say that would be 500 feet across there, but it could be, especially if you're up against the turnpike, because there's a retention wall there, a noise barrier there. And I guess that's the other thing, too, because sometimes the hardened surface will reflect the sound, right? But this is all noise barrier stuff. And I guess I would just say that anything you get involved with from a school district standpoint, make sure that there are noise barriers there, because ideally, if you can shut it out totally, that would be great. And then as far as the green buffer, hopefully you're putting some trees around and that type of thing, that just doesn't end up being a desert, you know, of tennis courts, right? That it ends up looking kind of nice. But yeah, so I guess what I'm hearing is, again, you're waiting for the school board to come back to you with the plans. And I'm hoping you guys take responsibility and look at the plans and say, well, you can't do this. You can't do this. You can do this. This is for the public interest, right? Because you're representing us, right, at this point. And school board, like I said, my son, if you don't know me, some of you might know me, but my son went to Princeton. My youngest just graduated from Cambridge not long ago. I mean, they're really smart kids. They're not living in the township here anymore, but of course I'm proud of them for what they are, but they had a great experience at Upper Marion High School. So I have nothing but high regard for Upper Marion High School, and the board's always been fair. The Heiser Park incident, that was back in Dan Rooney days, right, type of thing. And the football team, we had some very, I was surprised nobody was here, right? Because it was very contentious when they talked about Heiser Park, but that turned out very good, right, type of thing. So it was very professionally done, and I'm hoping the same is done for the tennis courts, anything that's done there. So, but thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Again, Tim Hoover, Anthony Road. Call me if you want to get some insights, you know, to what the neighborhood's thinking about, right? Because, you know, it's almost like us and you right now, and that's not the way that local government should be, right? So
I appreciate your comments and for coming this evening.
Yeah, thank you.
Sharing those.
Thank you.
Yeah. Mr. Hammond, make sure you get his contact information so that we can make sure he's in the loop.
Absolutely, yeah.
You have it, Ahmed? Yeah. Okay.
You have. Yeah. Thank you. I reached out to Jared already to get I had to go through the information request, which is fair enough. You request the information, you gotta go, you know, it's not like the old, where I grew up in a small town out in central Pennsylvania. And if I wanted something, you just called a guy up and say, hey, you know, Joe, just send me the information, right? But I had sent out a form, fair enough, no problems, I'm a big boy. And so Jared was kind enough, you responded, is it Amanda?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Amanda. So, and Amanda sent me a nice note as well. So very professional, very, very quick. And I got a sense for where the layout of the land was. And it was encouraging because it's just, as you said, the outline was where you said it was, right, type of thing. Every morning, my wife and I usually take a walk around the path there, the trail. We call it the Pepper Trail because we had a cat named Pepper that was killed back there when the Mullins had the property. So we have a name for it. But anyways, it's a lovely piece of land. And I just want to make sure that we do have it maintains nice, you know, when it's all said and done. So anyways, that's my piece.
Thank you. I'll just share a couple of additional comments that as far as the process of where we are with the school district, we have signed the lease with them just recently, and now they were able to take it to their engineer to start working on the plans.
Right.
So they were waiting for that lease agreement to be settled, so we wanted to make sure we had that in place.
Right.
So that's the next step. And the second thing I wanted to mention is that for tennis players and pickleball players, that we don't have any tennis courts on this side of 202, so right. The separation in the township. So this is gonna allow us the ability to have tennis courts on this side. And the school district will be funding completely the construction of the tennis courts.
Yeah, I think it's all kind of good stuff, you know, but mm-hmm. There's two sides to the equation. I think you're gonna hear that as time goes forward. It is what it is. You gotta hear it out, get the public debate, make sure everybody's on board.
It's always concerning.
Yeah, what's that?
Change is always concerning.
It is, for sure. And some of the neighbors there on Anthony Road are older people. I'm sure that they're not on Facebook. They don't, you know, and it might be a shock to them probably when they start hearing construction equipment going on. But that is what it is. It's just change. I mean, again, 40 years, the change here has been spectacular. See what's going on. And I'm hoping that, you know, the township could, you know, keeps some green on. You know, you see all the development that's going on over at Stonebridge and over at Mansfield Mill. It's like, wow, you know, I mean, where does it stop, I guess, you know, type of thing. And at some point, you know, you don't want the property values to go down for the people that have lived here, right? And that would be a concern. But I think you guys, you know.
You don't think we're having that problem yet.
Yeah, well, that's.
If ever.
And you guys.
Actually, for us, it's the opposite, that affordable housing for workforce is difficult in Upper Marion now just because of the cost of real estate. So we're not having that problem.
Quite yet.
And hopefully never.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate
thank
your time.
Thank you so much.
And just to add one thing, that's one of the reasons why we bought Damiani. And yes, there will be parking there. For people to be able to access Walker and Mullen and the expansion. But, you know, over the course of several years, hopefully we will be able to add more green in there and amenities that people like yourself and anybody else who lives in the township will be able to use. So,
yeah. Thank you. The other thing about pickleball, as you know, it's such a huge sport and you're going to get people coming from out of town once they know about it, right, type of thing. So I don't know what you do. I mean, it's a very jump. Everybody puts their paddle in the, you know, in the netting or whatever, it's their turn to play. But anytime I go to a pickleball court, I'm always surprised at how many people there are. And most of them are my age. So, anyways, appreciate the time. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Hearing and seeing none, we're in a position to.
Motion to adjourn.
All in favor?
Aye.
Meeting is adjourned.